Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group, Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the show that we try to answer your question in regards to investing, estate planning, and taxation. And today, in studio with me is Carl Jepson with the Warren Allen Law Firm.
Good morning, Chuck.
Morning, Carl. And Kevin's taking a little week off this week, and so if you got those tax questions, you can we can try to answer them. But Kevin's really the guy that answers those questions.
Well, we usually take a stab at it and then ask Kevin if we're right,
and then blame him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, then blame him if we're wrong. Yeah. Well, that's a good idea. You're listening to the longest running show in Oregon, a financial show that has a financial advisor, a estate planning attorney, and a CPA, and we are here to answer your questions. We hope you'll have this show as an interactive show where you call in and ask questions. Or you can email me at askchuck@pfgwm.com and ask a question, and we'll answer the question on air. And we'll try to do that each week. If you have one, send it in. We'll try to get it one time or another. Sometimes we have other topics going on that we might not be able to get to it that week, but maybe the next week. I will say this, in the coming shows, we're going to have Harry Dent on next week. We'll be a guest on our show for a half hour live. We'll have Harry on the air in studio. And then the following month in October, I'm going to be going to the Irrational Economic Summit, which is Harry's third, and I'll be going to that in Miami, Florida. And hopefully I'm going to try to call in here to the show. And we'll have Rodney Johnson probably on the air because Harry will be talking at the economic summit. But I'll try to have some other guests on there that are notable economists or people who have been in the marketplace and make the show kind of lively because having some other live guests on there besides the three of us. Although I think the three of us are okay, but it's kind of nice to have some fresh meat, right, Carl?
Absolutely. It's good to have someone fill the dead air.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, if you have a question about estate planning, about investing, about taxation, you can give us a call at 503-417-7626 or toll-free 800-990-0750. That's 800-990-0750. And I'm going to get right into the market because I think if anybody's been watching the market and you've been watching the marketplace, we've been saying on this show for the better part of a year now that based on demographics, based on Harry Dent, the economist, and his charts, we are looking for a major correction in the market coming in 2014. We think it's going to happen this year. It may move into next year, but odds are we passed over the thresholds of the market, and that is that the Dow went to its highest, the S&P went over 2, and that 2,000 on the S&P was one of the targets we've been looking at as a threshold to go over. On the downside, if it drops down below 17, that's when Katie barred the door. We think it's going to continue going down.
Well, Chuck, you know, there's this is not a prediction by any means, but historically on our show, there has been a coincidental event, which is when you go out of town, the market goes down. And so come October, I mean, that could be the time, right?
Well, October, yeah, you know, and we kind of talked to Den about this, having his meeting in October, and he has him in October. And one of the reasons he has him in October is that happens to be the month that there is, if there's going to be a big correction, it's usually in October.
I wonder why that is. Is there like a stock market groundhog or something that comes out? Or
I don't know. Maybe it's Dent saying what he's saying. I don't know. But the thing I would say to every listener out there that listens to our show, my clients are not fearing the down market. They're looking at it as an opportunity. If you've got your portfolio, you know, if you got serious money and you got play money. If you got your serious money, this would be your 401k money, your retirement money. Those are funds you cannot afford to lose. You cannot afford to take a big 30 to 50% hit and take 7 to 9 years to recover. You just can't afford to do that, particularly if you're over 50. You just can't do it. You know, I tell people this all the time. They kind of look at me like, well, why? And I'm, because you can't play catch-up. You can't continuously play catch-up and think you're going to gain and get ahead. And so right now, I would say if you're not in a managed portfolio that is conservatively managed, preservation of principal first, then you need to be doing something with your funds. You really do. And if you want to call me at my office at 503-253-3000, I'll be glad to give you some advice on it. No charge, just send me this stuff and I'll give you some advice on it. Because I believe in the next couple of months we're going to have a correction in the market that's going to be very similar to what we had in 2008. And I don't care what all the, and, you know, you hear on the news that they say the markets are doing fine, the earnings is doing fine. I sent out an email about 2 weeks ago from two economists on MSNBC. I sent it out to all my, and if you want to sign up for my email, you can go on pfgwm.com and sign up for my emails, because I send them out whenever we get news alerts. And we also send out a newsletter, and you're welcome to get that for free if you want to sign up for it. But I sent one out about 2 weeks ago. Two economists were on CNBC, and you can't get any more favorable to the economy than CNBC. They're going to push positive. The market's doing great. Yeah, 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 all that good stuff. The reality is it's not. And the reality is these two economists finally came out and said, we're going to have a major correction in the market maybe in the next 30 days, and it's going to be severe. It's going to be very similar to 08. Harry Dent's been saying that for years. And calling the shot on it. And here's the thing I want to tell you. When we have long-term bear markets, they last normally 16 to 23 years. That's been about the average, 16 to 23. In my opinion, we start at one in 1999, at the end of 1999. The markets took a change. For that whole decade, all we talked about was becoming a worldwide economy. That's a world economy, not an American economy. Well, guess what? We got a world economy. The problem is all of our investors have always been used to a stable environment economy, being the United States. Now, hardly any of our companies are really American companies. They're almost all international companies. And if you take a look at it, you know, we only represent, what, 4 to 5% of the world's population? Hey, there's a lot of money out there in other parts of the world. So you can't blame corporate companies who are trying to make money for their shareholders to be going worldwide. That's what you got to do. But I can show anybody on a chart the previous 80 years of the market and show you the last 14. And if that doesn't wake you up, nothing will. Because it's visual, you can look right at it, and you can see it. And it's pretty hard to debate the truth. When the truth is looking you in the eye, you know what it is. And if you don't follow it, then you got nobody to blame but yourself. And here's the thing I'll say about, I'm going to give a little weekly report here. The Dow Jones closed on Friday at 16,987. If we go back and look at the Dow where it stood on 10,907, and there you go, Carl, there's that October, 10,907, it was at 14,164.53. So that was the high, and then it crashed. And now it actually took till about March of 2013 to get even. Now, that's 5.5 years, folks. That's not a short term. If you're close to retirement or you got retirement funds, you cannot afford to not have a defensive measure. You have to protect yourself. This market from that period of time for 6 years and 11 months right now, the Dow Jones is up 19.93. That means we've averaged 2.88% return. That's real rate of return. That's not average annual rate of return. And I've talked in this show a lot about average annual return versus real rate of return. Average annual return is a lie. It is a blatant misconception lie. It's not accurate. Real rate of return is the real money you've made in your hand. And there is a big, big difference. You know, we go back and we look at the S&P 500. Oh, well, here, let me carry on here. The Dow closed on 12/31/99 at 11,497. In 13 years and 8 months, we are up 47.75% or 3.49%. That's about 3.5% a year for the last 13 years and 8 months. Folks, the 80 years prior to that, the Dow averaged almost 10%. That is not good. That is not good by anybody's measure. And anybody tells you it is good is lying to you. They're just not telling you the truth. The S&P 500 closed at 1985.54 this week. And on 10/9/07, it was at 1565.15. This is the 500 growth stocks in America, top 500 growth stocks in America. It's up 26.86 in 6 years and 11 months. That's a 3.88% return over that period of time from when it hit its high and then it went down. And again, it took till March 13th after 10/9/07. It took to March, about March 13th to 15th, to get back to where it was in 2013. That's almost, you know, 5.5 years. You got to understand, that means you're not making any money. I don't care what all the charts tell you. I kind of laugh when I go online and I look at companies and they're presenting their chart. They only show the last 5 years. Well, if you haven't made money the last 5 years, you've been in a cave. Or you've had your money in a bank money market account paying 0.2%, not making any money. But the reality is the S&P, going back to that, if we go back to 12/31/99, closed at 1469.25. It's up 35.14 in 13 years and 8 months. That's 2.57. That's an index that the previous 80 years prior to the turn of the century was up over 10%. That's a loss of almost two-thirds of your earnings over the last 14 years. And any way you cut that, that's not good for investors. If you don't have a strategy for your serious money, I just tell you, you've got to have one. You got to contact me either. And if you're a client of ours, hopefully you'll send your friends and family to us because they've got to take their serious money. Now, we don't invest all your money. I've got a couple of clients who are day traders. They take some money, they trade it, they do okay trading it, and that's fine. But their serious money, we manage. We manage their serious money because, like they say, I don't want to risk that money. I don't want to lose. When I'm day trading, I can lose money, and you can lose money in a hurry. But if you're good at it, you know, there are guys who make money. They may not make a lot, but some of them do pretty darn good. The thing is, the smart investor understands they have their serious money, they have their cash money, and they have their play money. And the play money is the money you take to Vegas. The play money is the money you go buy those lottery tickets on. That's money that you're throwing away. You don't. If you make money on it, fine. If you lose it, it's not going to affect your standard of living. It's not going to affect tomorrow morning you making your house payment. That's when you become a day trader like that, where it's affecting your house. Then you're an idiot. You know, you're losing all control. And Carl, we have encountered people who have been day traders who lost fortunes. I mean, who lost a lot of money. And you try to tell people, look, this is an addictive thing, like cigarette smoking or drinking or drugs. You can become addicted to trading. It's very easy to become addicted to trading, particularly if you have a little success and make some money. It's kind of like gambling. The guy goes into the casino and he's playing the blackjack table, and all of a sudden he's up 10 or 20 grand, and he loses all thoughts of reasoning. He thinks he's going to walk home with 200 grand, and he ends up losing the 20 grand he made and going to get another 10 out of his bank account and losing that too.
Yeah, it's kind of the it's kind of like I got my system, and but the odds are always favor the house.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Carl's comments. You're listening to Investing Simplified, and give us a call if you have a question. We'll be right back.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland, and he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management. On the web at pfgwm.com. Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and partner of the Warren Allen Law Firm, with Carl's comments. You can call Carl at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Here's Carl Jepson.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. This is Carl Jepson with Carl's comments today. But before I jump into Carl's comments, which are just stuff that has happened in my practice or something that has brought attention to me in my practice, I have some newsletter kinds of things that come across my desk about various developments in the law and about in estate planning and things like that. And one came across my desk the other day that I thought was curious. You know, you have to kind of think back that the estate tax went through quite a revision with the federal government here just not that long ago. And it ended up giving us over $5 million each to as an exemption amount. It's now $5.34 million that a person can transfer tax-free, and a number of other things, which by and large, everybody's thought were kind of fixed in stone. And maybe they are, I tend to think. But nonetheless, there's a new proposal, and I'm just going to read this to you. It says, the fairest way to reduce wealth inequality, lower the $17 trillion national debt, and pay for investments in infrastructure, education, and other neglected national priorities would be to enact a progressive estate tax on the wealthiest Americans, the top 0.25%, according to Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. And then he goes on to say his proposal would would not affect 99.75% of the households. However, for those who would pay more tax, the tax rates on estates valued from $3.5 million to $10 million would be 40%. There would be a 50% tax on estates worth $10 million to $50 million and a 55% levy on estates worth more than $50 million. A 10% surtax would be applied on estates worth more than $1 billion. It says the bill would close tax estate loopholes that have cost the U.S. Treasury an estimated $100 billion since 2000. And then it goes on to say that all estates under $3.5 million or $7 million for couples would be exempt. Well,
what was the starting point of that, Carl?
Well, the starting point was, the rate? 40%.
Yeah, but at what
amount? Over $3.5 million. Per person.
So they're going to go backwards.
Going backwards, yeah. I wouldn't say that this has a whole lot of chance of succeeding. But
well, I certainly hope not.
But I just thought it was curious that was the way that they'd look at it. I mean,
what always amazes me about our government is they look at our money like their money's lost revenue. When they talk about losing their revenue, they're talking about taking money from American citizens that they think they have a right to pull their money, and that's their revenue. It's not their revenue. It's our revenue.
Yeah,
and I just think that I don't have a problem with an estate tax that is for very wealthy people. However, I would put this out to you. This country has exempt some families called the Kennedys, called the Fords, called the Rockefellers. I think if we're going to do an estate tax that's going to go like that, then I think we need to go retroactive and pull the dang Kennedys back into the picture and say, you know what? You've got an estate tax. You guys have avoided for the last 40 years. You owe the federal. You've been cheating the federal government out of their money, out of their revenue, and Kennedy Foundation, you need to pay that money to the taxpayers. And the Ford Foundation, you need to pay that money to the taxpayers. And the Rockefeller Foundation, you know what? When are Americans going to wake up and say, we don't have elite people in this country? Just because they've been in office doesn't mean they're superior to us in any way, shape, or form, or should be taxed different than anybody else. Why on earth are we exempting those big families, those billionaires, from taxation?
You know, that's really interesting because the rest of this little news blurb says, Sanders' proposal won praise from leading economists. America is, quote, creating an aristocracy of wealth populated by heirs who don't have to work for a living and yet have great influence over how the nation's productive assets are deployed, close quote. That's according to Robert Reich of the U.S.
Sounds
Department
like Ted
of Labor.
Kennedy.
Yeah. And then he says this is a welcome state to a welcome, you know, step towards reversing that trend. So the proponents of this agree with you on that aspect of it. So
yeah, well, I would propose that if we need revenue that bad, the first thing we had to do is go and look at all foundations that have been exempt from the $10 million estate and just go ahead and tax their estate 50% for anything over $10 million. Mm-hmm. And we could provide virtually billions of dollars for tax money to help the average working person. Wouldn't that be a good idea?
Well, I think it's a tough uphill climb, but I think I'm all for that in having you know a good thing for the tax code. But the tax code is put together with various social engineering kinds of things, and I think when it started out, people tried to do good things with it, but then it became kind of a game. And then the more influence you have, the more good things you can make the tax code do for you.
Well, I've said numerous times on this show, Carl, we have the best politicians money can buy.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Well, they could, instead of calling it tax savings, maybe they should just call it a profit margin. I don't know. What?
for the federal government would be profit margin.
So.
And you see, I have no problem with having a estate tax, and I like the current estate tax at about $5,250,000, mm-hmm. I think it is, per person. So husband and wife have, what, 10-5?
Yep.
I think that's a fair exemption to have on estate tax. But I think it ought to be across the board for everybody, and I think they need to go retroactive back for all these people we've exempted all these years on not having to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. You know, let's make this the liberals keep talking about a fair tax plan, but their elite families are the ones who are exempt from taxation. Now, I don't know, but unless you're really stupid and you can't figure that out, you really need to take a look at this and say, hey, wait a minute, why aren't those people taxed like we are? I think everybody ought to be taxed the same.
Well,
that would be fair.
I sort of figured when I read that I might get you to comment on it.
Oh, that gets
bit.
Me excited.
Yeah,
that does.
Speaking of Carl's comments, there's one thing that came up in my practice that I want to point out to those people who have estate plans, who have trusts, and not all trusts, but if you have a taxable estate, and it was a taxable estate in Oregon, that would be over $1 million. And it was when you created the trust, then there's a real likelihood that you have in your trust document what is called a credit shelter trust. And the credit shelter trust is merely a device that allows you to use that $1 million tax exemption in Oregon for the person who dies and then use the other $1 million for the other person. That way, theoretically, you get $2 million tax-free. Under federal law, that would be up to $10 million. So it's a device of using that by splitting it up, but it requires some action on the part of the surviving spouse. And so when the spouse dies, the spouse needs to go to their tax advisor, and they need to go with the statements of their assets and things like that. And they need to figure out if that's what they have in their trust. And secondly, they need to figure out how they're going to fund that credit shelter trust so that they get advantage of those tax exemptions. What I often find, and here's the takeaway. That's a new word I've heard today lately. They're talking about the takeaway. I guess what you're supposed to get out of this is that if you don't do it, you lose the opportunity to do it. And I've seen a number of situations where they have credit shelter trust built into their trust document, and mom dies or dad dies, and dad does nothing or mom does nothing, and 5 or 6 years later they come back and they say, oh, well, no, what do you mean? did you set aside that money and split it into two trusts? Well, no. Did you do anything? No. Well, that may very well create a situation where they're losing out on the benefits that they, paid to have put in the trust in the first place. So well, just that's part of my comment today.
I got a tricky question for you.
Yes.
And I just thought about that when you said that. Mm-hmm. Let's say somebody is married. Husband and wife, they live in Oregon, because living trusts are private. They're privately held.
Yes.
You don't know if they were done before, they done after. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I got to approach this very carefully from a legal standpoint. But what if a husband and a wife, one of them passes away, and they suddenly realize we've got an estate that's bigger than $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have some estate tax in Oregon if we don't divide this estate up.
Mm-hmm.
And so what if the surviving spouse goes and types up a living trust?
Ooh, we're treading on thin ice here, aren't
and
we?
And then they sign for their other spouse, they sign for themselves, and they establish it online themselves, and then come in and say, we need to divide up the assets and do a split trust. Who's
going to catch him?
Who's going to catch him? The attorney helping him would be really careful.
I was going to say, yeah. if the attorney helped him do that, he's in real deep trouble. I suppose if someone wants to try to do something like that, but I would be very, very, well...
Well,
you're right. Yeah. I mean, if somebody wants to do essentially a fraud on the government, you can do that, I guess.
But there are
penalties.
Well, it just reminds me of a case you and I had where somebody tried to do that.
Yeah.
They tried to go in and change an irrevocable trust.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
And you and I both sent them letters saying, don't do this because it's illegal.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
And it's called. Here's my point is, there's always guys telling you can shortcut things and you can do short changes things. You can't do it when it comes to the law. If it's particularly in estate planning or any kind of tax planning, if you do, you will get caught. And if you get caught, the penalties are way more severe than just doing it the right way.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those things that could pop up in any number of ways. And today, because so much of the information, the financial information, is computerized and reported to the government, it's a lot harder to hide the stuff under the mattress. It's just not that easy anymore. So,
well, we're going to come right back with the Knowledge Trust. If you got a question, give us a call at 503-417-7626 or toll-free 800-990-0750, Investing Simplified.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over 3 decades, and its 9 attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
My name is Money.
Well, you're listening to Investing Simplified, and if you've got a question about your money, and we always say there's no foolish question when it comes to your money, give us a call at 503-417-7626 or toll free 800-990-0750. And like I say, there is no foolish question when it comes to your money. You know, Carl, some of the things, and I talked to Kevin on this, I did get an email. Somebody had sent me an email, and Kevin and I talked about this this week, we are going to talk later in the year, before the year end, we're going to talk about some things you can do to reduce your taxes for 2014. And one of those things, this is not a way to reduce your taxes, but it is something that is very prevalent. One of the things a lot of people are totally misunderstand is if you have one spouse that's still working, and they're provided they don't hit the income limits, but if they're working and the other spouse is not working, and even though they have a 401k and they're maxing out their 401k, the other spouse can take advantage of either a Roth IRA or an IRA. And a lot of people miss that when one person retires and the other one's working, they totally forget they still got a write-off there. So even though it's not an employer write-off, of course, a Roth IRA is not a write-off. And I always recommend if you have a good retirement and you have plenty of money built up for retirement and you're maxing out your 401k, I always recommend to do the Roth IRA if you can, because that's going to be tax-free. Now, we hope the government doesn't, in their infinite wisdom, come back someday and say Roth IRA is going to be taxable. I would hope they wouldn't do that, but it wouldn't surprise me. But in fact, that's been a discussion that we've had a lot at the Irrational Economic Summits with Harry Dent and Ronnie Johnson, and talked about on that a lot, is that, you know, could the government ever go back and say that a Roth IRA is now taxable? Well, they can. They could. I mean, they could change the code, but let's hope they don't. And right now, under the current laws, I highly recommend it. If you've got a good savings for retirement, if your retirement is rock solid as far as taxable income, the Roth is a very good additional supplement to what you're doing.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things that just kind of came up in my mind as we were talking about how the government gets reports on all kinds of financial transactions. We as a society use the computer tremendously. Even, you know, I even find that many of my seniors are really getting pretty interested in the computers, and they're doing stuff. And partly they have to, you know, they do online banking. Some of them have, you know, they have their investment accounts online so that they can see what they're doing and talk like that. And, you know, there are credit card accounts, there's stuff like that. And then also they have, you know, other things like, you know, when you call in and you want to access your cable TV bill, or you want to find out something on your phone, there's a password, there's a PIN number, and there are, you know, dozens of these things around for a lot of people. If you want to check your health information with your doctor or your hospital, all of those kinds of things. Well, all of those things are digital assets. And those things are really something that you need to think about, because if you die or become incapacitated and nobody knows what they are, you have left a tremendous mess for the person behind to find out how to do anything. How do they know what's there sometimes? And especially if you've gone to sort of a paperless, I have a number of companies that, you know, ask that I go paperless on, you know, stuff. And but being a lawyer as I am, I kind of say no. But that's just because that's just me. I mean, I'd rather have the paper just because I feel more comfortable with it. But I appreciate that many people don't, and they think, oh, that's great. I can just go online and look at it. Well, that may be problematic if their last statement was, you know, 5 years ago and they've been online and now you can't get into it. I guarantee you, if you call up the financial institution and say, hey, you know, mom just died and I'm her son and I'm her personal representative in the will or trustee or whatever, and I want to look at that account, and they're going to say, I never knew you. Forget it. Go to court, get your probate filed and get your letters testamentary and maybe we'll talk.
Well, you know, Carl, it just kind of brings up one of the things you and I have talked about for years now on the radio, and that is that we encourage our clients as they get older to get their kids involved, and know their passwords, to know their to get them on their safety deposit box, to get them on their bank accounts, not to change over to their name, but to have them as a beneficiary on there, and to introduce them to the people they're working with, because stuff happens, and you may know your passwords, and you may know how to access all your accounts, but if you have a stroke and you can't talk, who's going to get into your accounts, and who's going to manage that for you? If your kids or whoever's going to be your successor isn't able to get in, it isn't going to help them a whole lot.
Well, and it makes and for good reason. The companies are very jealous about and very cautious about giving out that information, or you know, giving out any information. They're very, and it could, you know, force you to. For one thing, it takes a lot of time sometimes, and you're going to get bounced around from one official to another, and some of them will just flat say, forget about it. If you want to find out, you know, file your probate. Well, it may be that just defeats the purpose of any estate planning that you already did. But if nothing else, it's a big hassle. And ultimately, I'm sure it can be fixed, but it could be, you know, it could be a long time before you could get that squared away. So one caveat, of course, when you were talking about giving the kids the passwords and stuff, that is those of your kids that are trustworthy, you know, and that goes for anything, of course, but there's some great risk. Those people that you trust with your personal and financial information can be unscrupulous from time to time, and it's really a sad situation, and I don't know that I can say why that is. Of course, maybe it's because those of us in my profession see maybe the bad ones, you know, we see the ones that result in some kind of financial abuse, but sometimes it's in, you know, sometimes it's just maybe the kids have found themselves in a terrible financial circumstance, and the temptation to, you know, kind of bail themselves out is there. A lot of different reasons why it happens, but none of them good. But nonetheless, you know, that's the kind of thing that does happen. So,
well, yeah, one of the sad things that you and I do encounter in our practice is the fact that sometimes family members do take advantage of other family members when it comes to their finances, and it can be very costly and eat up a lot of assets just to do the right thing legally.
Oh, absolutely, and it can be disastrous if the wrong person gets the money, because a lot of time that's the person who doesn't have any money themselves, and so when the money is squandered, if it is squandered, there's no way to get it back. It's gone. And you know, so that's the other thing. And I know some people who have lost basically their retirement and things like that, and now they're faced with the institutional living because of their health, and so they're looking at Medicaid, and Medicaid is just medical welfare basically, and it's at a you know, it's not a high level of care. Let's put it that way. Generally, so.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and come back with the more of the Knowledge Trust. If you want to join in and ask us a question, give us a call at 503-417-7626 or toll free 800-990-0750. When we come back, I'm going to talk about some stocks and mutual funds on recovery time. And if you have a stock or a mutual fund you'd like me to tell you the recovery time on it, on a major correction in the market, I'll tell you based on history, and history is what counts. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back with Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland, and he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management. On the web at pfgwm.com.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. And just in case you... you missed our thing. We're going to open up the lines here. If you have a question about a particular stock or a mutual fund, you can give me a call, and I can answer that for you. So don't hesitate to do that. I'm just wondering if I hit the wrong button there. Okay, well, you're listening to Investing Simplified. Like I mentioned, if you have a stock or a mutual fund you want us to run a check on, give us a call. We'll do that. Also, you can email me. Yeah, email me a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, and we will answer it on future shows. And we can do that, at that time. And speaking about that, I did have a guy that called in some time ago, and we had talked about a stock. That's a very common stock, and it's AT&T. And one of the things, when I give my stock report, I do want to give a disclosure here. I use Yahoo Finance, and for any of you who get on the internet looking at different things, I kind of like Yahoo Finance because they have interactive stock and mutual fund charts, and you can look up and you get a lot more information than anybody is out there giving you. And I provide this to my clients when I sit down and I do a portfolio review with them. I go on Yahoo Finance and I show them the real value of the stock or the fund they have, and I show them the volatility in it. Because a lot of times the guy selling you the stock or the mutual fund, they just kind of leave out the part that when the market went down 37%, that portfolio went down 54%. And remember, it's an exponential recovery. If the stock market goes down 37, you got to make 58 just to get even. So if you can avoid dips in your market, in your portfolio, you are much better off in the long haul and certainly in the short haul on your portfolio. And I kind of get a kick out of people who's I went on and looked at certain funds and they say for the last 5 years it averaged 14%. Well, that's true. But it's up. So that means in 5 years, 14%, it's up 70%, right? But what they forget to tell you is that when it crashed in 08, it went down 54%. So even though that fund's made 14% the last 5 years, it hasn't caught up to where it was. And that's the old adage, figures don't lie, but liars figure. You got to check this out for yourself. And that's why I show people on Yahoo Finance, I'll look up a stock or a mutual fund, and I can show you exactly the trend of that stock or that mutual fund and show you what they did in recovery time. For example, AT&T as a stock actually hit a high, their all-time high. Here it looks like at about, now, this computer, there we go. It was about August 2nd, 1999. And guess what, folks? It's never got back. It's never came back. That's what, 14 years ago? It's not back. So that stock might have been a good stock to dollar cost average in, but if you had dumped a bunch of money in that stock and you'd put a bunch of money in that stock, if you'd put $100,000 in that stock, you may not have anywhere near, in fact, 35, 55. It's actually about 40% of value. So you'd probably be lucky if you have $60,000 to $70,000 left. That's over a 14-year period of time.
Investing is not for the faint at heart, is it? Not for sissies.
No, it's not for sissies. It's for people who really seriously look at your money. And this is why I tell people, look, there are really two kinds of people. There are people who know they need somebody to help them invest their money, and they seek out a financial person to help them with their money. And the other person is the person who thinks they can go it alone. I mean, that's really the two people we got.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, too, that certainly in today's world, we are able to get more information about investing or about law or about anything than we ever could before because of the internet. And that's fine. That's great. I mean, I think that's helpful for the consumer because they can make more educated decisions and be a little bit more informed when they select stuff. But the problem is that some of these things... I had a client the other day had the debate about, you know, he had pulled a will off of, you know, the internet and we had already talked and he has a mind to do something very simple. But unfortunately, the estate is really, really, very, fairly complex. It involves, you know, income producing real estate properties and, you know, a variety of things that make it really, you know, challenging. And to try to simplify that in, you know, a couple of sentences is just not going to work. And could have, you know, dramatic consequences. So I was trying to explain to him why it was that it wouldn't be such a good idea to do what he had in mind. And so I finally said, he's a mechanical guy. And I said, so look, I said, you know, he says, well, all I want is I just want it to be smooth and I want it to do what I told you I wanted it to do. You know, I wanted the money to go here and there and this. And I said, yeah, I said, I appreciate that. I said, but let's suppose that this were a transmission in a car. And I said, and what you're telling me is you want the transmission to shift smoothly. I said, well, how are you going to get there, you know, if you don't put all the parts in the transmission? And so, I said, it's just, and are you prepared to build a transmission yourself? And he said, well, no. And I said, well, you know, sometimes they say we're not building a grand piano here. Well, but we might be building a... you know, an upright small piano. we're building a piano. We really are. So I while it may work, and I've seen forms come off the internet and things like that, do-it-yourself stuff that works pretty well. But you know, there are times when you don't want to do things yourself. You know, you certainly don't want to try to perform surgery on yourself. Well, except a haircut, maybe.
Well, you know, Carl, that's one of the things we talk all the time about is that we try to tell people, look, you need to get personal help in certain areas. And I can tell you in my practice working with people, I kind of call myself a financial doctor in that I refer people who do the surgery. I'm the GP. I look at their investments and I help them with their investments. But if I get into estate planning, I'm going to refer them to an attorney. If I get into a tax question, I'm going to refer them to a CPA. I've got a long-term care person that I work with that's an expert in long-term care. He's probably forgot more than I'll ever know. But that's a highly specified area that you need to know. It's kind of like if you go and see your family doctor and he says, you know what, I'm going to refer you to a surgeon. He's not going to do the surgery. He's going to refer you. If you have to have brain surgery, he's going to refer you to a neurosurgeon. Do you really want some guy that does physicals for a living doing surgery on your brain? I don't think so. And you sure as heck don't want to go online and look up how to do neurosurgery and do neurosurgery on a family member or try it on yourself. It's not going to work.
Yeah, I mean that's true throughout many disciplines. Anymore, it's a very complicated world that we live in, and the technical things that have to get done sometimes are very, very technical. In the law, I know there are a lot of things that I simply wouldn't even think about doing, and then I refer them to somebody who does those things. So,
yeah, we constantly refer clients to people who they need to work with, and I always put this caution out to everybody about advisors. If you have an advisor that is doing a living trust for you, or you have an advisor that's doing your tax planning and your estate planning and everything, and he's not using any other experts, I would be very, very careful. I would be very, very cautious because you've got a fool for an advisor. And I don't know anybody who has the ability to do all of that and do it really well. It just seems to me you're looking for a train wreck.
Well, it's certainly, I think as an advisor of any kind, you have to know your limits, and you have to know it's important to spot the issues where you know that there are interdisciplinary things that need to be dealt with. But then you have to, when you delve into those areas, you can say, well, this is what I think, but you need to go see somebody who does this all the time, because there's so much stuff in that you can't keep up with it all the time. So most of us have continuing legal education, but we can't have continuing legal education in everything in the law. You know, it just doesn't work that way. So,
well, one of the things I tell people about my practice is that I know what I don't know.
Exactly.
And it's very important that you work with somebody who knows what they don't know and can get you to the best advice. And I tell people, look, I can't do everything for you because there's no way I can. My job is the investing part of it. But we're going to need other people, a estate planning attorney, a CPA, to make sure we have everything right tax-wise. We can give you a general outlay, but when it comes to the technical part of it, you need to work with a professional. Unless you're the guy that's going to go try it on his own, and then I just say good luck.
Well, I have lots of war stories about. I also have, quite frankly, have made pretty good money sometimes in cleaning up things that have been, and they were really the kind of thing that would have been easily avoided had anybody even just asked just a couple of questions of somebody before they launched into it. But it's just it can be very expensive to clean up if you can. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you just lose a bunch of money.
Yeah, one of the things about tax law and estate planning, what's that old saying, Carl, about that it's better to do it wrong and then ask for forgiveness?
It's easier to get permission. It's easier to ask forgiveness than ask for permission.
Yeah, but when it comes to estate planning, I got bad news for you.
Yeah.
The IRS or the state of Oregon is going to do it their way. And there is no giving of forgiveness. It is what it is. If you owe it, you will pay it. Your estate will pay it. And you may not pay it, but your estate will pay it. So good planning costs money. Good planning takes time. Good planning takes thoughtfulness of what you really want to do.
You just raised a really interesting point that is that I would like to just kind of throw out there. A lot of times, everybody in the world is busy, and we're all busy, and we don't want to spend a lot of time doing stuff that we don't really want to do that bad. But one of the things that when you do estate planning, especially if you do a trust and stuff, which you're going to have some time invested in it. not just the lawyer. The lawyer just doesn't hand you a piece of paper and you sign it and it's all done. And if a lawyer tells you that that's true, then I think that you might want to get a second opinion on what was being done, because the one thing you have to do with a trust is to fund it. You have to put the stuff in the trust, and the lawyer should help you do that. Now I know some people who say, well, I can do all of that. Well, okay, if you want to do it, that's fine with me. You know, that's fine. But most people don't want to do it all, or they don't know how to do it. And so, you know, at least we try to get people going in the right direction. But sometimes we have people that really get little, and you have to provide your attorney with enough information for them to do the things they need to do. Because if you give them faulty information, they, you know, you get faulty results. And
speaking about that, Carl, how does somebody get a hold of you if they have a question during the week?
At 503-255-8795, and I'm at warrenallen.com on the web, and we're out in East County on 122nd Avenue, just off of Gleason.
And if somebody wanted to email you, maybe something you said on the air that they want to get a copy of,
sure,
or something?
It's Jepsen, J-E-P-S-E-N, at warrenallen.com.
And I mentioned that because I had somebody contact me that wanted to get some information you'd given last week, and I thought that'd be a great way for them to contact you.
Sure.
You can reach me at pfgwm.com or askcheck at pfgwm.com, and we'll be back next week with Investing Simplified. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.
Financial Group, wealth management. Price Financial Group, wealth management. We do investing simplified. Financial Group.